Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. There is very little in the way of harmony between St. Louis County Executive Steve Stenger and the County Council. Relations are chilly as both are flexing, that is, their fiscal muscles. Political reporter Joe Manis will take us through it after we bring in Rachel Lippin. A big story on her city politics criminal justice beat was the naming of a new St. Louis police chief, John Hayden. She's had a chance to interview him, and she joins us now. Welcome, Rachel.
It's a pleasure, as always, Don.
Good to see you again. You know, he's been around for 30 years now in the police department, well-known within the department, but not by the general public. What was your general impression of the guy during your chat?
He's, you know, an affable, sincere, I still think, try and get used to the public speaking and the interviewing a little bit. In 30 years, he hasn't spent as much time on the street as possibly you think. He had an extended term as an instructor in the academy from 92 to 95. He actually touted that as an asset, saying many of the individuals who went through the classes in those times are now in the leadership positions, the sergeants, the lieutenants, you know, maybe even on up through the captains, where he can mold and shape them through that mentor-teacher relationship. He then had a stint as the executive aide to Chief Joe Mokwa, and then a stint with the Internal Affairs Division. And it's only been in the last 4 years that he's come back out as sort of a commander of officers on the street. So a lot of experience within the department, knows a lot of people, but it's been more at sort of an executive kind of assistant level than, you know, as a patrol officer, which is not, again, uncommon for a lot of these guys who do advance up through leadership.
He seems to be a deeply religious man from what I've read.
He is. He is a deacon at his church and has served in that role for a while. He believes very firmly that he would not have been a top candidate without God. And he also has taken some classes at one of the theological seminaries in the area. So faith is definitely driving him. And I don't know for sure if he sees this as a way of, you know, doing God's work in the community, but he certainly gives off the impression that he's, you know, he's guided by the faith in what he does.
Has he had a chance, do you think, on the basis of your conversation with him, to formulate strategies for dealing with the problems he faces?
I'm sure as the patrol, you know, as leading North, first 5th District and then for 2 years and then North Patrol, which includes the 5th District for 2 years before his promotion, that he has. And he is a proponent of hotspot policing, which is you flood the difficult areas with a lot of officers and then bring in the resources behind. Whether or not there really are actually new theories of policing, I mean, policing has been around since, you know, the Civil War obviously originated as patrols for runaway slaves. It has evolved in that sense. But in terms of theories of modern policing, I don't know that there's much new out there really to kind of try. So maybe it's how he executes and is thinking about the so-called hotspot policing and hotspot patrolling. That was one thing that I thought was sort of missing was, and again, maybe there isn't anything new to here because policing is policing, but community policing, hotspot policing, those are all buzzwords we've heard since Eisen was chief.
Yeah, I read your post and I was interesting in the question you raised about hotspots because one occurred to me as well, and that is, this is not new. This is going back several years, I think, to Dan Isom has been the one who initiated it.
In a form, yes, in Wells Goodfellow, and I'm sure saturation patrols have always been, you know, DWI saturation patrols are in weird way a version of hotspot policing. You know that there's going to be a lot of drunk drivers out there. You go and attack the problem with more resources. Again, it's execution. It's how he views it. You know, it's the mobile office that he talks about where he goes and, you know, sits on a proverbial street corner. Is that adding hotspot and community policing together where he is a presence out there and also out as someone to reach out to. So maybe it's in the way that he thinks he can blend the two of them together. But again, there wasn't a strategy that I heard where I sat there and I said, this is brand new, that, you know, this, and who knows if any of this is going to work, as he said, but.
Is he talking about himself actually sitting out there in a corner as he's done before?
Yeah, he said, I will release a schedule. I will, you know, be out there and be present. There are days that will work better for me, obviously, as he put it. But yeah, it sounds like he is talking about having a desk, whether it's a metaphorical desk or an actual desk, and being in these areas where the presence of a police officer might deter crime and also encourage individuals to come out and talk to them.
Any discussion about use of force, which is such a big topic these days?
Indirectly. I asked him how he thought that cases of officer-involved shooting should be handled. He is on board with the recommendations of the Ferguson Commission, which say that it needs to be done by an outside agency, probably Missouri State Highway Patrol, unless they are the ones involved, and prosecuted or handled, if necessary, by the Attorney General's office. He was less certain about Kim Gardner's proposal, where her office would essentially be the one directing the investigation. He thought there needed to be a clear split that kind of nobody from within the St. Louis universe or the universe of the department where it happens should be involved in investigating. But he understands that whether or not he thinks that the force investigative unit, this internal unit that the SLMPD has to handle this, is being fair or not, the perception is that officers from within this department can't investigate fairly one of their own who is involved in a shooting some other killing.
He's talked about bringing the Attorney General's office into this, isn't he?
That is one of the Ferguson the recommendations of the Ferguson Commission, is that the Attorney General acts as a special prosecutor in the case. Republican Josh Hawley, my colleague Jason Rosenbaum, has asked him this question a number of times. He's not keen on the idea. He believes in the power of sort of local prosecutors to handle their local jurisdiction and thinks it would take an action of the state to kind of give the Attorney General the power in local prosecutions.
How about handling protests?
He wasn't specific as to what he would change. I think obviously the fact that you have a civil rights investigation going on, plus two lawsuits, including one class action over how protests are policed, gives you an indication of that something needs to change. The North Patrol also includes the Central West End, which has obviously seen some of the protests. Chief Hayden endorsed the idea of sort of a rolling cordon where you kind of block off streets as protesters move, direct traffic from the area, and then reopen the streets as they move on. He said that seemed to work for him in the Central West End when they would be along Kings Highway or Maryland or up at the mayor's house. But he didn't get more specific in terms of policies that need to be changed. There are negotiations ongoing between the American Civil Liberties Union of Missouri and the city in terms of what policies need to be implemented that may explain some of his caution and not getting into too much detail. But there wasn't much, you know, well, absolutely, we need to be protecting the First Amendment or we need to be doing this.
I'd seen a quote from him shortly after he was named chief that over the course of his career, he's had many ideas for policy implementation, but because he was not the chief, he couldn't do it. And oftentimes what he was proposing fell on deaf ears. Now he does have the opportunity.
Now he does have the opportunity. Absolutely. As chief, he is the one to set the tone. He is the one to say, this is the policy that I will be putting in place. Again, he's been in the job a week now. He's been with the department for 30 years, but you're now taking over as, you know, top HR, top whatever. You are the man in charge. And maybe, you know, there are probably orders in the works that he is working on, orders being what kind of dictate police policy within the department. I'll be interested to see what comes out of that. You know, I'll give him the fact that he's been chief for a week.
Yeah. And
literally a week.
Yeah, that's very true. And I guess he's still getting his feet on the ground in a lot of different ways, having just taken that job. Another thing that I noticed with interest is that he has a number of female commanders and top aides that he is keeping in place, which is probably a good thing to do in today's environment.
And some of that is simply just those of individuals who have already kind of been promoted under him and are serving as his commanders. What a lot of people have a bit of a tendency to forget is that the police department is still a civil service organization. He has some limits on who he can pick as his aide. He can't necessarily say or as his command staff. He can't pick someone and promote them if they don't meet the requirements for lieutenant, sergeant, etc. There still have to be exams. There's still a list of who he can pick from. So it limits it a little bit. But yes, there are a number of both African-American and other women in sort of the command staff over the districts, over some of the other departments. Department isn't the right word, but in sort of the bureaus, I guess, within the department.
The discussion may have turned toward cooperation with the county, did it? Because there are some levels on which there is cooperation now.
Yeah, and there has always been a degree of cooperation between the city and the county. There has to be. There's no, you know, wall at the border between St. Louis and St. Louis County. They just had a carjacking task force looking into a lot of the individuals who were carjacking in the city were also participating in the crime in the county. They've been able to work across the border. The bomb and arson squads are still combined. He says he has a good relationship with Chief Belmar. Chief Belmar says he's working forward to working with Chief Hayden. That's John Belmar in St. Louis County. And there just has to be a degree of cooperation. Criminals aren't stopping and going, oh, well, I'm now entering the city. I'm not going to do something. Or I'm entering the county. I'm now not going to do something. I mean, we saw police chase a couple weeks ago came across through Illinois, up through downtown, and ended right near us here at Grand Center. So
last I heard, there was some cooperation in the crime lab arena, too, that the two were working together in that regard.
I think there's always been, again, a degree of cooperation between the city and the county. One has more resources. One, you know, has better expertise. Whether he drives that forward and encourages, you know, even additional task forces or tries to push for the reunification of the academies where, you know, the city trains with county officers as well. There's always opportunities for cooperation.
What did his confidence level seem to be to you?
I think he's settling in and
5 days.
Five, six days in, yeah. I mean, he definitely at the initial sort of press conference where there's all these cameras and all these people, he looked a tad overwhelmed, and I can understand that. You're now leading a department and the face of a 1,300-person department and a public face. He has been on camera before as commander of North Patrol. He would brief on a lot of the homicides or things that happened there. Interestingly enough, I think this is the second recent chief to come out of North Patrol because Chief Dotson, before he was promoted up to chief, had been on North Patrol or somewhere in North Patrol. I think either District 6 or District 5. But anyways, that's kind of a random aside. There's always, you know, a time to grow into the job. You know, we'll see how he is in terms of the front-facing, more political little p part of the job.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you for your analysis of this new police chief, Rachel Lippman. Thank you. I know you'll be watching him closely, and a lot of members of the community will as well.
Yes. He gets a little bit of a tiny bit of leeway because he is not Lawrence O'Toole, but he's definitely, you know, people are monitoring and watching to see if he lives up to expectations and promises.
O'Toole, very controversial. He's going to stay as the assistant chief?
He is. Again, as mentioned earlier, it is still a civil service department. Yeah. There would have to be cause to push him out. This isn't something where Chief Hayden can just say, you're a controversial figure. You need to leave. Could he ask him to retire? Could he, you know, encourage him to retire in the way that Chief Dotson was? Yes, but this isn't a situation where they can say, okay, you're done. You know, you're gone. So,
again, Rachel, thank you so much for being
pleasure
with us.
Pleasure as always.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.